Winter, spring, summer, fall, seasons change. We still keep it together.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans, are you ready to dive deep? Episode by episode, storyline by storyline, character by character, as we break down the making of your favorite zip code with your host, Charles Rosen.
Did I say that?
Mary Mullen.
This foolish thing about the real person, and we go, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
I'm feeling wonderful. Kathleen looks crush, TV crush worthy.
Like so many special guests and all your questions. Live on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Oh, yeah.
Everybody dance now.
I think so. I might be
and we're all right. So here we are on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. I'm super excited. Talking all things Brandon Walsh this week. Larry and Chuck, you're together, and how
together
are things
again? At two for
yes, we are. It's we're saving bandwidth this week. You know, we're doing our part for the country,
for the environment, world. Somehow. Yeah,
the environment.
Hey guys, what do you feel about the? Are you getting as much rain as I am?
We had weird weather today. We had hail. We had a sun
hail,
shower.
Wild hail last night.
Walking the dog. Yeah, I've encountered lots of strange weather. It you know. It'll pass soon, I think.
You've been here a long time.
Next week, we got a 2-day storm forecast. Like Tuesday, Wednesday, or something.
Oh, no, really? I'm supposed to drive to San Diego again. I canceled my trip this week.
Yeah, well, this is, I don't know the exact days, but we got a 2-day again.
Not only to get conversations about 90210 here. You also get the weather here. We're going to be doing news soon. So,
they've invented new words, though, as writers, though. Had you ever heard of atmospheric river? This is a new
no,
term.
No, these are climate these change. Are,
like they just invent these words. It's fantastic. Well,
there's a lot of new words.
They yeah. aptly describe what passes over us in the sun. We were
because
today
it's
on
slow.
So what I saw today, my weather report.
Yes, please.
Walking, Karen and I are walking the pups on the beach in the morning. This was after when this hailstorm hit Venice and places nearby. Just after that, and the waves were coming over the barrier to the channel.
Oh, yeah. Wow. The jetty.
The jetty. They just were.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big
going
show.
Going up 10,
yeah,
12 feet high.
You've seen a lot of spray. That's fantastic.
Whoa, a lot of spray.
You know, this is really not relevant to the conversation, but you've been here a long time, both of you. Have you seen rain like this before where it's raining like we're in Seattle? I mean,
for such a long duration. I mean,
and not for the temperature to be so cold.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And also, there'd be much bigger breaks in between it with good weather.
Some
like, there'd
good
be a
weather.
Santa Ana would come in and be like,
well, Larry and I, and also the one thing that has made it a really kind of rough winter here at the beach is that we have never really had that late afternoon wind. It would come down, it would go away just like it would in the morning, and that completely became overwhelmed. There were at least a dozen days
so
in the winter we had out here that you couldn't even, the sun was shining,
yeah,
wind was blowing, and you couldn't even begin to venture out to the
yeah
sand.
It would be abrasive.
It would be like you're
the
in the Sahara storm. You know, the
yeah sand a sandstorm.
Let's get into some of this. Okay, so
yes.
90s con. 90s Con was this past week, 90s Con, right?
Oh, 90s Con, yes.
The con convention. So we brought some friends on. They're going to tell us how their experience was at 90s Con.
Liz in Tennessee, and Lucy in Germany, and
Patty,
Michelle from
hello,
the...
Hello, everybody.
And Patty from Germany, and Michelle from Queens.
And, Michelle had the easiest
right?
trip, I feel like.
Yeah, it was only 2 hours.
Tell us.
All right, so let's get first off, Sarah. Hello, it is so good to see you, Dorkzilla. I adore you so much. It's so wonderful to see you. How was this for you? You got to meet the entire cast of 90210.
I still can't believe it. It was unbelievable. It was way better than my expectations.
That's amazing. And Patty, I saw all your. You got them to do some fun stuff. Right? Tell me about your experience, Patty. Oh, we can't hear you.
She's muted.
Yep. Michelle, how about you?
So I just wanted to just ask Sarah, you know, why was it so special? Because the stars are so accessible and fantastic.
Yeah, and they were really friendly. I was expecting a little bit of like, I don't know if snobbish is the right word, but like a little snobbish. But they were really friendly, like in Hartford. Volunteering hugs, like asking for hugs. Like, I wasn't expecting that.
Well, I mean, I think they really appreciate the fans. We're thrilled to see this. That's great. And then did we get Patty back on?
Chuck said it's hard to be awful in Hartford, right?
Well, but you could approach it like a business and be more distant. You could be more distant.
My nephew and his family, and they left California and they live in West Hartford.
Nice.
Which is really nice, but Hartford's was good. They probably really like pulled out all the stops out for the 90s con because it's good commerce in March.
Patty, are you good with audio? Let's try it. No, I don't hear you.
Not happening.
All right. Yeah. All right. Lucy's there. Lucy was all over Instagram.
But Lucy, where did you come? You came from a distance to go to this thing. Where did you? What's happening with you? How did you get there? Tell me about going to Hartford, Lucy.
Yes. Well, I went to Stuttgart to my friend Patty. And when we had a night there, and when we went to Frankfurt by train, and from Frankfurt to Detroit by plane,
oh my God.
And then an overlay in Detroit some hours, and then from Detroit to Hartford.
Oh, okay.
So it was really,
sounds like a Grateful Dead song, I gotta tell you.
Mary B., how about you?
Well, I drove an hour and a half because I was staying at my family's for a bit in Rhode Island. It was amazing. It's actually the first thing I've done like by choice in about 3 years. First there was the pandemic, and then I got sick. And when I saw Shannon Doherty was going to be doing a meet and greet, I didn't even think. I just immediately was like, take my money. I never thought in a million years she would do something like this. And so that was so special. And everyone else I had met before, but it's never any less special. Like they're so sweet. And I brought a picture of my mom on a stick because my mom really wanted to go because she's a huge Sharknado fan. And Ian thought it was so funny. He took a photo with it. I would show you, but I'm on my phone right now. But that was really cute. And my mom like freaked out. She thought it was so cute. And you know, everyone was just so kind. And it was just such a fun weekend. And meeting the other fans that like I've only met through, you know, online so far, meeting a lot of people in person was just awesome because you all are so cool.
Did you feel that 90210's level of fandom was vis-a-vis all the other
90s things? Yeah.
I think it was really up there personally. You know, on the other side of my mom's sign, I had a Donna Martin graduate sign. And everyone I walked by was like, Donna Martin graduates. people were really, really into it.
Patty, how's it going? No, I still don't hear you. You know, you should wait. Did I just hear you?
Maybe try joining on your phone.
Yeah, try it. Change it up. Leave the chat and come back into it. Leave this room and come back in. Maggie,
hey, Michelle, and Maggie came from the five boroughs of New York. So you drove up there, gals?
I went with Sarah. Sarah drove us. Me and Brandon went with her.
Oh, Sarah Herndon?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's cool.
Fantastic.
What was it like for you? You obviously, Maggie, you watch 90210 every day. So what was it like so what was this like for you? This must have been a huge deal because some of them know you from social media and whatnot.
Right. Yeah. It was, I don't know. I feel like I just left Disneyland. Amazing. I was nervous to meet Jason for some reason. I don't know. Like he's like, I was telling Charles that Brandon Walsh is like my favorite. So. I wanted to tell him like a little bit of everything I wanted to tell him, but I got it all out and it was cool. He was like And he loved Brandon too. He gave him like high fives.
Brandon. And Michelle, you went up there with your husband, who's such a good sport, or no? You went by yourself.
I went with Sarah and we met up with Christelle and Melissa. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but Michelle, what about you?
My my husband took me. It was a wedding anniversary present from him to me. So nice. He knew how much it would mean to me, especially to meet Shannon Daugherty. So it was great meeting them all. But I have to say, Shannon Daugherty and Rebecca Gayhart were the two that stood out the most. They like spoke with me the most and were just very friendly. Shannon Daugherty actually wished me and my husband happy anniversary. So that was really cool. And it was just a dream come true to meet them. My husband knew how much it meant to me.
How was her health? Did she look vital? Did she look okay? How was her health?
She actually worked through lunch. She wasn't going to do selfies, then changed her mind and did it. I waited 2.5 hours online to meet her. That's how big her line was.
So, Mary talked about take my money. So, for other fans listening, what did it cost for this experience? Like,
there we go.
Not the travel, just walking through the door.
No, I'm really curious. Just to walk in the door, what does it cost?
An idea of what it costs you.
Sorry, Michelle, give us the nuts and bolts. Give us the numbers here, right?
Yeah, Michelle, you're good.
Was about $70.
To get into the event without a ticket to see anybody, the building.
All those pictures per day. I saw you guys per taking day. With the stars. Per what day. Did that then? Were you paying per picture, or were you?
You're paying. You had to pay for a selfie or an autograph or a combo.
Wow.
What did you invest ballpark? Like $500? Are you talking about? But over $1,000? This is like Taylor Swift.
No,
over.
Is this over 1,000?
No, less than 1,000.
Okay.
I had my husband handle.
Now her husband handled it. Sarah, you'll give us the 411, Sarah. What is it? What is it called?
No, I think this is good enough because the fans want to know. They're going to want to go to these things. And obviously, it was great for the gals from Germany. I mean, it's amazing that they went out there. But they knew it was a real payload there because everyone was there, pretty much.
Other than Brian. But also Shannon was there. And that's a rarity.
That's what started it. And you came up. Did you drive up, Sarah? Or you flew up probably from Nashville?
I drove Maggie. So I live in New York.
New York.
Yeah, I picked up Maggie and Maggie and I went together.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, I didn't know you lived in New York, too. So you got three New York.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Pat. Let's see if Patty's working. Are you working? Is your audio working, Patty?
Yeah.
I hope.
Yes, you're good. Okay, I can hear you. But you got them all. Your pictures are the best. Patty's. Have you guys seen Patty's pictures? Because she's got some really good pictures with everybody.
Yeah. Her boy, she loved. I know. You guys, it was so fantastic seeing this stuff.
Yeah, so tell me about how did you convince them to do some of that fun stuff? Because Jason was doing like goofy faces
Running man.
I don't know. It came out. I don't know. This was fun and love and. Like a dream. I mean, it's real, but it's not real. But it was real. But it feels like it was all a dream because it was over so fast.
Mm-hmm. I know. Oh, let me. That's a good question, though, Larry.
Also, Christelle was out there. Our friend from California. She was there too. I noticed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, but a good question is like, how much time do you really get with? How much time do you get with each person? Are they? I mean, look, there's how many people there? There's 10,000 people. I mean, I don't know. All walking through this, do you get some quality time with Jason or Shannon or what is that like, Sarah?
I actually did have really good quality time with all of them. And Shannon, especially, like I wanted her to, so I paid for the combo, which was $80 to get the selfie and an autograph. But I also wanted her to sign my husband's Playboy and she was discouraging that. So she actually upped the Playboy charge to $150. And so I said I didn't want to make her feel uncomfortable, so I wasn't going to have her do it. And I have it here. I was giving her my Dylan pillow. I said I knew they had like a really special relationship. So I said, I want you to have this. And she got really kind of sad and said, I haven't been able to look at anything with him on it since he passed. And she said, but I will sign it for free for you. And she signed, oh, she signed it for free for me and then gave me a hug. And we took like this really cute picture. So yeah. it was very sweet. And I felt like I spent a lot of time with her.
Well yeah, that's the way. If I were a legendary star and wanted a fan, I'd want my fan to be you, Sarah. I mean, yeah.
Sweet. Chuck, you are a legendary star, VIP Chuck. You are.
Did you buy the VIP passes or just the regular? So everyone regular. Just got the combo was the way to go. All right,
I just love that Larry's focused on the deal still.
I think it's great. I think it's going to happen again. And you know, I know there's two dueling ones. We'll see what it's going to be happening. So that weekend. Let's not get into that. We have a show to do, but it's so great to see everyone's faces and for everyone who went there. Wow, it's great. And it's just the legacy lives on. I'm so glad the kids had fun together. They all look like they were having a good time. And
did you guys feel that Jason was very, we were talking about this before we came on, Jason is always very kind with fans and he spends a lot of time. Mary B, did you feel that?
Well, with him, I did a photo op, which is different than the selfie and autograph thing. And for those, like, you really get like maybe 15 seconds with them. So it's like you walk up, they put their arm around you, you take a photo, and then you're like, bye. But he did actually like chat a little bit anyway. He thought the Donna Martin graduate sign was really funny, and but yeah, he was really warm for sure.
Lucy, what about you? We didn't hear from you. How are you feeling about Jason and all the cast? Were they all very cool with you?
Yes, of course. They were very kind, and we hugged and we spoke, and so nice.
It is really nice. Did everybody do the Jason and Shannon picture together? Did you guys all do that?
Nope.
No. Yes. But you did do the cast photo. You all did the cast photo together with Jason and Tori and no. What did you do, Michelle?
I took selfies with everybody, and the only photo op I did was for Shannon because they had said she couldn't do selfies at the table. So I bought
that's
the
right.
photo. But then the day of, they said all of a sudden she just told everybody, I'll do selfies now with the table. So
she was feeling the love. That's great. Selfie and
photo op, so.
Yeah. She looks like she had a great time with everybody too. So really good. Look, it's really great to see you all. We're going to jump into a show about Brandon Walsh now. Maggie, it's always lovely to see you. Patty, Michelle,
Maggie, Mary. Stick around one more minute. When we start talking about Brandon, I want to, and Jason, I want to link in one thought and I want to just get your reaction.
All right, Maggie, stay here. All right. We will see you all some other time. So we good. So good seeing you, Sarah.
Nice all right. Too.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. All right, so go ahead, Chuck. You wanted Maggie here.
Well, here was Jason Priestley playing Brandon.
Right.
And you just have to look back at the pilot, you know, that was all shot before it was all shot before I got there. And he's gorgeous. You know, he's this young guy. He's you know, it just in with young Hollywood. He's already had a show at NBC. And he and so to get a character to have to play like Brandon Walsh, who had had more Midwest sensibility and morality, that he would, you know, he was, you know, a young guy. He wanted in the town. He wanted to be edgy. He wanted to be indie, you know, and all of that. And yet as he's grown in life, And as Larry and I were talking, you know, and had even a near-death experience.
Yes.
That here he is at this point in his life, and he is an adult in the mold of Brandon Walsh. He in fact...
Well, the Boy Scout.
The Boy Scout. Not the Boy Scout, yeah. but in a sense, all of that that embodies that's good without the pejorative of a Boy Scout.
Yeah. A good. Did you feel that, too? Did you feel you were meeting Brandon Walsh?
No, when I spoke to him, I spoke about Brandon Walsh. I wasn't like, you were my best friend.
I understand that, but did you feel like he is kind like you would think Brandon Walsh would be?
Yeah.
So he's come into that character for sure.
Yeah, he got imbued with Midwestern values through the show.
All right, Maggie, we will see you.
Got not that rough and tumble Vancouver street scene. Yeah.
But also, as I was saying before, I was kidding. He also is from Canada, which is a country which is particularly more polite than the United States. It's just
that's true. That's very, very true. All right, Maggie, we will see you. We now have to jump into clips and to talk about Brandon Walsh here. So it's good seeing you. And hello to your Brandon as well. So
yeah, he's sleeping, but
Brandon.
All right, bye-bye. All right, guys. So, you know, look, Brandon Walsh has dated a lot of girls on this show. It seemed like every week we had seen him with, you know, somebody different. I mean, it wasn't like that. There was longer relationships and whatnot. Chuck, you asked to talk about this first, right from the pilot. You weren't involved with setting them up, but I do have some questions about this person. Woof. Leslie Vega, Marianne Moore. Did you think you were going to go ahead?
Yeah, so the point is you take it to the end, but then it stops when Brandon stops it.
Yeah, I didn't go all the way, but yeah.
Exactly, but he's attractive, he's in there, he's there, he's down to party, but for whatever reason, he's not going to have sex in that pool that night. He's not doing that then. Now, we'll learn later, he's still a virgin.
That's right. Yeah.
He wanted to have a more attachment, maybe to
a more memorable time. Who knows?
But the fact of the matter is that I just think it's interesting that one of the first things is him putting the brakes.
Yes.
On relationships and sex itself.
But he was a sophomore in school at that point, Chuck.
That's right. He's going into.
He was a sophomore year. 16. So. We are going to ring a bell when he scores. Okay.
He scored there. Marianne Moore also scored with Tony Soprano very many years later. Right. She was in The Sopranos. She was a big part of that. She's a very beautiful girl.
Buck naked.
Yes, she looked very good. And you've said before here, Chuck, you thought you would be writing a lot more for Marianne Moore.
Yeah, I mean, she's, you know, obviously the way they played her and did her, she really struck me as, oh, well, that's a Beverly Hills girl. And
totally.
And a certain kind of Beverly Hills girl, but nonetheless, and there weren't that many like that when I was in high school, but there were many rich girls. And so, yes, there were. But and in various degrees of happiness.
Yeah.
You know, they're not a two and a happy chick. But she struck me as that was an authentic, dark Beverly Hills girl. And she's hot. And, you know, if you're going to bring back a mean girl or this, I mean, you could do a lot with her as being the antagonist of a group, basically. But the Spelling Company wasn't interested for whatever reasons.
They probably had her in mind for another show.
Well, I think she did have like a conflict with something that she was doing at the time. I feel like I remember talking to her about that, and that's why she didn't. And then she just, you know, the window just, she missed her window, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay, but then you mentioned this.
She wanted to say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Come into my room in an hour.
Brandon, what if your parents decide to check on us?
They won't. I promise. They sleep like they're dead. Don't say no.
We waited so long. I just wanted it to be special.
Trust me. Right now, this is special. You just won't know until you do it. Then you'll look back and realize how special it was.
I don't know.
Cheryl, 45 minutes.
think about it. Brandon, do you have protection?
Of course. It's always been my problem. Lots of protection, but no one to protect.
If we can change that.
Jesus, Chuck.
Yeah.
Number the thing one is, man, before. Like, people are so confused sometimes, right? Where you say, oh, 90210 is so popular, but I grew up, I never seen anything like that on television before. You know what I mean? Like, this was groundbreaking that Brandon was going to do this on Fox at whatever time it was, you know?
8 o'clock.
And, yeah. Well, the two things I have to take away, of course, is that's right, Brandon did this.
Mm-hmm.
Was it that his first romance was more complicated, that this girl had really gotten her whole social scene had been torn asunder with him gone, and she had been playing around and had no self-esteem and was a runaway. But he didn't know that as he was falling in love and having this hot scene in his bedroom with her. But the point was is that nobody cared. The show aired, it went on, it was the guy. When we got to the girl, the twin, you know, and the female's virginity, that was another story.
But as a character, Brandon Walsh, when he loses his virginity, is 16?
16.
Okay, there you have it.
Yeah.
That's why it was shocking, basically. That's why people were excited.
This is why people are going to the...
Because Fox only programmed 2 hours a night. What should have been like a 9 o'clock show was an 8 o'clock show.
Right. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Chuck? It wasn't a what?
Oh, forget. Never mind.
Let it go? Okay. But this is why everyone's going to 90s con. It's these kinds of moments. They were, as a kid, you connect to it. You feel like they're going through things that you're going through. And you're
right. Well, and Fox urged us, you know, it was with attitude and you know, with the edgy. And then they wanted that, and that became sex. And if there was a difference between sex for girls and guys,
right?
But they wanted to see that edge with guys. They wanted to see that swagger and that you know, fantasy of just going to a party and making out with somebody.
You know, it's funny, the line she says, you have protection, you go, of course. Like, it's just, yeah.
he's been planning for this
moment. He's selling great. He's good. Anyway, what was his next where we are?
Let's see what I have here. I don't even know the
order. What are you gonna do?
I fed him this morning. He gets his bottle at 11. The formula's already mixed. In his bag are his blanket, pacifier, play toys, diapers. Thank you.
Brandon dating a girl that has a kid. I just love that actress, Kristen Dottello. So.
You know, that was all inspired by that movie with Ted Danson. It was Three Men and a Baby.
Three Men and a Baby. Yeah. Tom Selleck and Steve Guttenberg.
And Steve Guttenberg, yeah. You know, and they had made a comedy. And Amy Spies and Darren. And the network wanted something to be have some issue, but also to lighten it up a little bit. Yeah. And at least started that way.
You know how I feel.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Babies are show killers.
I do.
Babies are show killers. Alfred Molina.
She only did the one episode.
But it's also interesting about that actress, Kristen Dottello. We learned in Diane Young's chat that she was somebody that was considered for Brenda Walsh.
I remember.
Yeah, she's a nice person.
Yeah,
she's very nice, very beautiful. Still looks so stunning.
Is there a bell ringing situation in this one, or just a romance?
We didn't see it. Definitely some of them.
Move on.
Okay, this may not be a bell ring, but you might want to because it's a unique situation. So take a look at this.
Oh, come on, you're gonna come and keep it by myself.
Brandon Walsh does not dance.
That's my choice, guys. You know, that's Chuck's the one. Fantasy. I wrote it. I have a fantasy. Yeah, what can I tell you? I was in my 30s, late 30s.
Right.
She also was really Carla. Terrific, but written to be a one and done.
Yes.
But they had a lot of chemistry. We were surprised. I think I've never heard I've never talked to Jason about working with her in that.
I do wish he was here with us for this, because I would love to get his take on working with some of these people. But
make sure you send it to him, and then he can give us.
Yeah, give some comments. But Carla is a hot character. She really is good. And like, he gets caught up with some of these girls, and I didn't pull the clip, but he gets into a blowout with the guy
because it doesn't have to do with the romance,
but know? He like defends her honor. He goes full throttle with all of this. You know what I mean? Right. So he gets really defensive of the girls that he's into, for sure.
Well, it was a thing that I wanted to do with him, which was to cross the line.
Yeah.
Was to be in the wrong, that it's the first time you're dealing with social issues around you and you don't quite know what to be doing. And especially since there was a level of subterfuge in this episode with her being in a witness protection
program.
And that's the only reason she's at the high school, and that she's, you know, Caltech bound, or, you know, MIT bound. You know, it was not the typical Chicana hottie.
Right.
She sure was. And that dance sequence was pretty
so
cool.
So there was no other scene with them, or did they?
Oh, they had lots of that. Really?
Well, I just wanted to see the dance, because it's not something that we see very often.
Yeah. People love her.
But they had great chemistry, I thought.
But no bell ring there.
No bell ring.
All right, move it.
Okay, this is going to be. The next one is a very controversial topic. People get really defensive about this person.
I've got a surprise for you. Oh, God, this is making me so nervous.
What?
Well, I've got a going away present for you.
Well, what is it?
ta-da!
What? The carousel, the horse, what?
No, I'm giving you the person on my horse. If you'll take her.
What?
Look, Brandon, we may never see each other again, and I want goodbye to be a moment we both remember.
Lots of Andrea Zuckerman. We have to talk about Andrea Zuckerman, because when we posted this, when Maggie posted that we were going to talk about this, somebody wrote me and said, you know, essentially, how dare you don't mention Andrea in this?
She throws herself at him. He pretends not to pick up on it, which is fantastic.
I don't know if he's pretending.
I don't know what she's talking about. Horse, the carousel?
Jason, but the Brandon Walsh of whose antennas out there, he would have known on the first reference to it. You're right.
Yeah.
But to make the scene go and have that spelling under, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this. You know, it had to go on for 10 seconds.
He's selling a bit there. Because he doesn't want,
but I ultimately, dawns on him, and then he turns. And
look, he's not attracted to her, guys. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. Brandon Walsh is not attracted to Andrea Zuckerman.
It's just what it is. I mean, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. I'd love to take the opposite side here just for the point, but he's not into her. It's not like that. They're better friends. I mean, could you imagine if they dated years later, they would not even have the friendship that they have. They're better friends than they were a couple. I'm so sorry. I know people are probably freaking out at this information.
They're probably doing it today, for all we know.
Andrea.
We don't know that, but It's possible. But at that point, it was a no, you know.
Okay, look, I've got both of you here, and this is, they keep asking me to ask you this. And we've talked about this before. I feel like we repeat this, but Chuck, in the era that you were at 90210, was there ever a thought we should put Brandon and Andrea Zuckerman together as a couple?
Well, it was in the conversation because it was things that we would be hearing back from fans who wanted to see that. But the fact of the matter is that you guys are dealing with it, they would be chemistry or this, they're better friends. Who the, in all fairness, when you're running a show, that's not really what you're thinking about. You're thinking about, well, I've got to put episode, I've got the handsome guy, and I had two handsome guys, all four of our cast really, and it'd be very handsome. But at this stage, it was Brandon and Dylan.
Sure.
And Dylan had a girlfriend, and that was a steady relationship. And you had that. You wanted someone who was a little more free as a bird, and we wanted Brandon to be that. And effectively, because he's in some ways playing a little bit more of my alter ego. I had a girlfriend in high school from 16 to 18. And although there were other girls, it would have been, you know, fun to maybe have just no girlfriend. And then this one of that, like Brandon. Right. So the vicarious
aspect. True Brandon.
And going with Andrea, there is no upside to it. Mm-hmm. Because it's the point you pointed out. They have to break up. They're there. It takes focus to that. And they were great friends together in the newspaper. And the fact that, yeah.
But so, the attraction thing, he's not attracted to Donna either. Then right. Nothing ever happens with him and Donna. There's
no.
One kiss between them in season However, six.
Valerie, it's good. It's silly. It's silly. The kiss is silly. But we'll get there. But Larry, with you, you're someone who just probably has a bright idea every once in a while. Like, did it ever cross your mind? Maybe we should hook up Brandon and Andrea. I'm just giving everybody who's an Andrea Brandon stan an
opportunity. What Chuck had set up, and I felt it was just, you know, it was a friendship, really. And if it was going to do it, it was going to be so big at that point. Yeah, it was going to be.
Mary came on, she was already had a child.
Right. By the time that, she was already going to be pregnant.
That's where your mind was. Yeah.
But yeah, no, she, and, you know, I did get her laid with Dan Rubin, though. We did, you know, I have the Dan Rubin stuff.
Right.
So, you know, at least we got that. But no bell ring for the Andrea character. Just not enough sparks.
Okay, Steve Franco says Andrea and Brandon too much like brother and sister. Valid point. Our friend Brian Navarro says, "Oh my God, Andrea offering herself the secondhand embarrassment."
I feel Brian, so good to hear from you. I felt that watching the scene too. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think Brandon knew what was going on, but he's just trying to be kind.
Where would Andrea?
I'm going to take the counterpoint. I think not. But we got to go back to the film and look at his expressions because it's so incongruous to him. Why is she being elliptical? She's always right straight ahead what she's talking about, you know. And
he thinks that she's offering
by the time he gets to the memorable thing, you know. I mean,
he thinks that she's offering the carousel. Like that's what he thinks the gift is the carousel. Yeah, like Andrea somehow swung by him the carousel.
That's the same carousel, you know, that they used in The Sting. It's on the Santa Monica Pier.
Of course, the great one.
And it was Paul Wagner was so effing pissed off that I made him shoot there. Because at that time in 1991, we can laugh now and you go to the Santa Monica Pier and it's very touristy and very safe in its own way. It wasn't that way in 1991.
Yeah, it was a
scary, gang-ridden part of town. And let's go here. Right. At night, please. Yeah.
Hey, I just want to go back to some accounting. Did he ring a bell with Carly or no?
Carla, yes.
Yes.
Well, not in that scene, Carla, but he definitely hooked up with her. Yeah. I don't know what we're calling the ring a bell.
Yeah, I mean, they were intimate.
Yes.
I think so. We implied that, yes.
Okay, I want to go back on that one. So, that's two if you're keeping score.
That was always one. Okay.
All right. So that's two. Here we go. Moving on, Pete.
Andrea and Brandon were meant to be soulmates, best friends that were soulmates. So there's a lot of strong opinions about this. So, All right. That's the end of the Andrea thing, guys. I asked them the questions that you wanted to know. So there you have it. Now let's look at this. This is interesting because it's in a sequence at commencement where Brandon is asked of all the girls that he was with in high school, who was the most important to him? And I want to just say, Chuck, I watched commencement when I was playing this clip because it's just so well done. Those two episodes of you integrating clips.
Best clip show ever made.
No, but it really is because it's integrated in the right way. You know, yeah. So credit to you. Yeah.
I think you'd be surprised.
We recently rewatched that, and at first I always thought his answer to that will be Emily, and I'll show Emily here in a second. But when I watched that episode, he was really broken up about the ice skater. Like he was.
Well, it was also a really meaningful episode. He was as the actor, but also just he knew that we were putting him on skate, but putting Brandon on skate so Jason could skate.
Yeah,
and it was like, what do you want to do to have fun with Brandon? We'll do it. We'll set that up. We'll put that in the plot.
Use his skills.
And I think he really appreciated that he got to skate. Because the skating, really key, I think, to Jason in a way, and then for on Brandon, is that he's Canadian,
right?
A teenager, and he's really good on skates. That's a high status. And looking the way he looks and this and this, and he got immediately into the A list of celebrity hockey, right? Here in town.
The Jerry Bruckheimer game.
Yeah, a big thing for Jerry.
All right, so we have to talk about these two more people from high school. Larry, bear with us in the high school years.
I know what you're going to say, but they told me you weren't working today. I didn't know you were going to be here. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be bugging you.
Nikki, it's okay. I just wanted to apologize for blowing up at you yesterday. I was preoccupied with a lot of things. In fact, I don't know really what was going on. It was so unlike me, actually. Obviously, you're a very nice person. In fact, I like you.
There's this boy in third grade. His name was Marty Haffin. He used to kick my chair and make me cry. My mother said it was because he liked me, which I found so strange.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just had to do that.
It's okay. I understand.
God, I love Nikki Witt.
No. Yeah, I like her too. Was this a bell ringer or what?
Oh, yeah.
Did he meet with her?
Oh, yeah. Listen.
All right.
But Chuck, did he avoid, this is someone that he avoided for a long time because she was younger than him.
Right. But again, you know, they were good together. We could see that. And she's real cute. And it seemed like a great thing to have a little bit different in the senior year. And I don't know if we knew exactly where we were exactly going when they would, but knew that eventually they would, split.
Doesn't she add something really special to the show at the time?
I think so. I felt it was great that he just had a girlfriend that were the younger girl and opening it up a little bit because we were, you know, focusing on some other things at the same time.
All right. Lastly, from high school, we have.
Brandon, there's something I gotta tell you. In the not playing games department.
What's that?
I came here last night with Dylan.
Well, I guess I'm losing points in the originality department, aren't I?
Well, that's okay. You can make up for it in other areas.
So Brandon and Emily Valentine become such a big thing through the show that, I mean, seriously.
And it really makes you feel, Pete, that, you know, for me, knowing that we were saying to Larry, there they are making out to Chris Isaacs, and they did fall in love. They were a great couple.
A real life couple.
Yeah. And we, you know, Karen and I, we went to dinner with them. They were great to be with. They really were a good young couple.
Really good kissing in that scene.
And the best.
But she comes back quite a bit. Emily comes back. You brought her back multiple times. You both four and five, I think she came back and was in the was in the mix, you know. So this is one of his great relationships. Maybe she's the one that got away.
I don't think so, because I think ultimately he realizes that she's kind of dangerous. I mean, isn't that always the underlying thing there, that she seems kind of normal now, but she could end up, you know, having an episode or something? Or am I wrong?
The writers of
you could certainly add that.
I'll tell you, the writers of season 8, Jason was up in the
a fire episode. You mean like she's going to burn something? Is what you mean?
Oh, the thing is that's what the writers of season 8. Coming in, if Jason was still there, right? He still was in the beginning of season 8. He was still there.
Oh yeah.
So, executive producer. Absolutely. They should have brought her back for that. See if they get together.
That would have been a good idea.
I don't know why they didn't. She had written for the show. She had been there. She'd gone out. Should have come back for that one.
Absolutely. All right. Let's see. I got a whole bunch of.
Because I don't think we can give.
But wait a second. They were not a couple anymore at that point. So that might have had something to do with it. Maybe it would have been too uncomfortable.
But you know, it would have really been good.
Yeah, it would have been good story wise. Yeah. To see what happened.
You got to look for it. Get the story going.
Yeah.
That was a worthwhile story following up, because we can't answer it now.
Yeah. No.
Yes. The love of his wife. I don't know.
I would have found out in that point. I'm going with Kelly Taylor.
Okay. Mary B says she liked Nikki, just getting back to a few people that we mentioned. Brian says Nikki was very underrated. Love Dana. Steve Franco wants to know, was Clark Griswold happy his daughter was with Brandon? Amanda says Nikki was my favorite. They ended up having great chemistry. Brian thinks that Nikki and David were better together. I still can't see her with Brandon.
You're a music man, Brian. That's why.
That's fair. Let's see. Dana is a human highlighter. She adds a lot with her presence. And then, of course, everybody's talking about Emily. Matthew calls her the goat. Lori says that I love the episodes with Emily. Hey, Lori, why didn't you get up to the 90s con? What happened? That feels like it was in your neck of the woods. Brian says the amazing Christina Lise. Catherine says, I just love Christine. Love that they made Emily from Cambridge, like Christine. And then, of course, everybody's talking about Chris Isaac and the music not being in that episode. So let's go.
And I also, the Spanky and our gang, when he gets together with Dana, you can't tell it necessarily on the mix that we had there, but it really swelled beautifully. And, you know, and I'd like to get to know you. And it was the perfect.
Oh, that's so.
Okay. Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Each pit song for that moment.
All right, we have a couple of more. Now this is another controversial one. Let's go to the this is another one that we're going to really dive into here.
Evening, Miss.
Oh, thank you, Miss Taylor. We ought to do it again sometime.
Not right now. Hmm. Can't I persuade you to come inside for something warm and cuddly?
You know I'd love to, but. Seeing as it's Val's first night in the house and everything.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
You do?
I do.
You're not disappointed?
No. Why would I be? My boyfriend is considerate and sensitive. I'm not disappointed. No. I just wish.
Wish what?
I wish you weren't so sexy.
Thank you. probably shouldn't keep Steve and Valerie waiting too long.
Well, if I know Steve, he's making good use of his time.
All right, yeah. So this is controversial. A lot of people, you know, feel that this is the end.
Lucinda.
No, I have Lucinda, I have Claire, I have a couple of more here in Valerie. I just wanted to.
That's like, okay. You know,
I got. I want to go to the big. Together, I want to get the big ones. I want to get the big ones. Yeah, I want to get the big ones in here for while people are tuned in live and watching it. Keep the conversation going. Let's talk about Kelly Taylor. Larry, you believe this is an end game.
Absolutely. I think they were the best for each other. They brought out the best in each other. They were good, just good together. They were, you know, if they would be a power couple, you know, that's what I would have seen for them after college.
What about you, Chuck? Are you a Brandon and Kelly?
Well, it's interesting. You know, if you look at it and try to extrapolate them as, but that they're real and it's real life. For them to be a great couple, they would have had to leave Los Angeles together, go to another city together, and become that power couple.
Yeah,
that,
Washington, D.C.
That, like, Washington, D.C., where Boston. He was comfortable. Boston, you know, also, but had great pop scene. She would have been great in those places. Kelly Taylor, I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's a good point, being away from Beverly Hills.
I mean, it would have just
grown.
That's worth it to grow in that. But so, you know, when you talk about, is this the one? You can see those two together growing together to become that. But, of course, that all precludes that nothing that then you had that happened after college happened.
Well, but let me ask you this though. Let's the you are somebody that said that Dylan and Kelly are soulmates, Chuck.
Yeah, but they're unreliable narrator.
So should she be with, even though Dylan got married and there was a horrific turn of events with his wife getting shot and all that, and you were still like loosely in the world of 90210 at that point, Chuck, you know, I mean, you were, well, you weren't there, but you were a consultant. I think it says on executive consultant, you know, you could take some credit for that.
I remember they were so mad at Columbia. It was so I didn't realize that I had this obligation outside of my overall. Oh my God. And it was like, well, this is going to take me long. And Coach really, you know, Mr. Spelling would have really liked me to get all up and down into it. And then, but after a while, he would realize, and I did the first one or two, but after a while, it was just clear. It's just, you know, Jess and Steve are, you know, off to the races and that.
Yeah. But do you feel that Dylan and Kelly were soulmates?
Soulmates? I don't know. You know, that was, I mean,
they were Beverly Hills kids together. They were homies.
Okay. You know, also with Dylan, I mean, they, no, I don't see that that's where domestic happiness would have been for Dylan. I mean, they maybe did. They had soulmates, lovers through time and all of that. And
yes.
At a juncture. But at least in the era then was our era, seeing it together and trying to project that into the future. I just think there was a lot of real, you know, they were a little
were
older.
Lovers.
There was a lot of real issues between them in season four when they broke up, I felt.
Yeah,
I mean, we had to stretch in my mind to have her even be considering him again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, and Dylan was not an easy, character to love, you know, so he's an easy character for all of us to love, but be in a relationship.
They both had, you know, kind of from wealthy families with, you know, fathers who were kind of.
You know what I always really liked about that was really good and kind of even unexpected is when in the first episode of season five, where Brandon and Kelly are a couple and the way that she's describing like being on the lake with the family and being up in Minnesota and those 2 weeks together away from Beverly Hills, as we just talked about.
Yes.
It was, you know, unique to all the other experiences.
Maggie mentioned that to me earlier today. Did you ring the bell, Chuck? Larry? Is it?
Oh yeah. And it is. It's the girlfriend. I know that because when I took Karen away, we were the first time she was 20. And I was 24 and we weren't married and my parents took us to Las Vegas and it was okay. You shared a room. It was almost like they, Jim and Cindy sanctioned the relationship by allowing them to get together in the summer and they're going to be together. And
couple of more college years people here. This person I want to let you know, I just talked to earlier today, and she said hello to both of you, and she has so much appreciation to both of you.
And what if I'd come in with your father?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Listen, Claire.
Brandon, would you just relax? I mean, you should be enjoying yourself. Here you are in Washington, D.C., in a great hotel, and you're about to deliver a speech that my father says is going to blow away the room. And then when you're finished with that, you get to come back up here and be with me. Is that so terrible?
All right. I give up.
Good.
I'll tell you guys.
Whoa.
You know, this again, man. You know, in the end, he obviously turns her down because she's the chancellor's daughter. He knows enough with those Midwestern values not to cross this line.
And yeah. He had a political sensibility, which is what the mister didn't like about, that he brought to him, not to cross those lines and be thinking down the road like that, because you lose impulse.
She says hello to all of the fans too. Great, I want to say, I love Kathleen so much.
There's a meal just looking at her, and her face. It's just gorgeous. So
it's very difficult for me to watch that. Only because everyone talks about the handcuff scene, but to me this is Claire Arnold. She's so in it here, and she's really going for it.
The 2 hour in Washington. Who did that one? Who directed it?
Michael
Lang. Okay, yeah, of course. Michael Lang did the opens and closes.
Really beautiful stuff. Okay.
After all that food, I'm certainly glad I decided to get back into shape.
I think you're in great shape.
For someone my age. You think we'd be more comfortable upstairs?
I always thought beds were overrated.
Right here.
Oh God, look what I did.
Don't worry.
Can't
about
take
it.
Me anywhere.
It's okay.
No, that's all really right. Sorry. I got it. Hang on. Wait a minute. Is your husband Professor Randall?
You know him?
Know him. I'm in his freshman sociology class.
What? I mean, it's a huge class. I'm sure he barely even notices.
No, you don't understand. I talk to him every day. I tutor this basketball player.
You're Deshaun Hardell's tutor?
The one and only.
Oh, boy. I mean, that's
I love this really stuff good. With Lucinda.
That's a good plot. That's really good. I mean, that is, it's a lot of what Brandon is. I was kind of chucking, for better or worse. There was Chuck, myself, and Steve, and Chip, and all our romantic fantasies or whatever we've had in our experiences all went through Brandon Walsh at one time or another.
This is Brandon and the older woman.
Brandon the older woman. We all have that way. You have to learn some from someone,
Right?
And,
and then
it shows that moment that when it becomes really incestuous.
Yes.
Yeah, but that was pretty cool. Opening the, spilling the wine glass, opening the book up.
Oh, I love it. And there he is. Okay, some comments. See the Wave says, I thought Tony and Dylan were soulmates.
That's good. I'm with that.
But Catherine makes a season 10 joke. Kelly deserves Matt. God. That's Matt's at the end of the season. He's a little bit of a doormat type character, but I like the actor. He's very actor's very cool. Brian says, I can't remember a single harmonious moment between Kelly and Dylan. Okay.
I was wondering that myself. Let's just put our heads together for 1 second and see if we can find one. Harmonious when they had some fun together.
So fun?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jose says Dylan and Kelly aren't soulmates. Brandon and Kelly was soulmates. So Steve says, Steve Franco, we've gone to you a bunch today. Brandon and Dylan were soulmates. First love, Kelly and Dylan was just sexual.
I think they were lovers.
Fair, yeah. Valid. I think that's a valid point.
They were good men.
I think that's probably.
And then we have a lot of Catherine saying, I like Claire and David. I'm sticking to it. Sorry, Steve. I agree with your assessment on that. They had a lot more, I think, spontaneity and fun.
Yeah, they were good together.
They went to go chase aliens together. You know what I mean? Like, that's a fun thing. And then Brian says that Claire, another great add to the 90210 verse. I felt she was more suited to Dave and Steve. I liked her with both, especially with Steve. Okay, we have a couple of more. There's a lot of UGG Lucindas, so there's people that are not feeling it. There's this that you mentioned.
Well, it was a lot of 30, 40 year old writers' fantasies.
Look, it happened in 2 weeks.
Okay.
That was the end of season 5, and that was my last moment. Yeah,
that's when I left the 90210.
You left on a high note, Chuck. You left on a high note.
She was kind of taboo, almost like the sister.
And 2020 behind. And also, that was probably that was one really to explore after.
Yeah,
that
really, moment. Because you knew she was trouble. I mean, she was already like,
yeah.
And she was so shady. It would have allowed Brandon at that period of time, having not going to be president and not going to be this to turn a little darker.
Yes.
If you think of it now, everybody would have liked that. You could have taken 2 steps away from campus politics. You could have just done some different stuff, but it's really easy to do that. 30 years.
They wouldn't have been a good couple.
Tammy says, "No." That's how she feels. That's how she feels about that. Renee, who loves Valerie on a whole other level, I was kind of interested to see where the storyline with Val went. Of course, we knew it wouldn't work long term, though. So they kind of agree. Catherine also says that Valerie and Brandon should not have been together. So
that's what we felt in the end.
What we felt, yeah.
Val and Brandon might have been nice. So point counterpoint. There you have it. Okay, 2 more. Larry,
something to talk about over, because again, there were seasons then. That was the end of it. That was in May. It would have been in May. We would have premiered again early September. So
Chuck, bear through these 2 more. You have to comment on these 2 people, Larry.
Susan.
Yeah.
There wouldn't happen to be a quality that I possess that you admire just a little?
Can I get back to you on that?
Yeah, sure. Forget I said anything.
Don't feel bad. I'm sure I'll think of something. I just thought of something that I like about you.
Yeah? What's that?
Good lips.
Wait to kiss him.
She was a huge fan.
She was all over. Yeah. She was hot. And he was attracted to her. Even though people say, well, she was just Andrea 2.0, but there was something a little bit different about her.
No, she was not Andrea 2.0. That's bullshit. This girl brought sex appeal, brought an energy. She had been fighting for things that happened to her. She's been through quite a bit, not to discredit Andrea, but
she dumps Brandon after a whole season. Why? Because she has an opportunity. They have this whole thing planned for the summer. They're going to do this trip, across the United States, and he gives up a big job in Boston for it, and she gets a job meanwhile and doesn't give it up.
She took the job. That's a big thing at the end there.
Yeah, it was a good lesson for him because she was ambitious. She was just like him. Was iron sharpens iron. They were really good together.
Yeah, I thought they were. They had really good chemistry, and sometimes.
We're gonna bring her back?
No. If I stayed long, maybe would have. You know,
she was. I think she was hot.
She did lots of stuff. She's still working.
Yes, she's very talented, Emma Caulfield, and very funny. And
WandaVision.
She's been through quite a bit too with her this year, but I thought she could have been, you know, somebody that Brandon wound up with.
But again, you know, a lot of it becomes a personal thing too. I mean, obviously no one was saying, hey, we got to bring her back. And from, you know, even though we thought she did a great job, we liked her, writers liked her. I never really heard much more of that. We're going to bring her back. We always kind of thought she was going to dump Brandon. That was pretty much, she's serving the show. She's not coming back, at least for a while.
Maggie wanted me to ask you guys. Maggie wanted me to ask you guys about the girl from New York who we skipped over.
She was great, loved her.
And also, of course, we didn't pull a clip of her, but Brooke, the racist girl from the beach, Chuck, that people are asking about.
I got to catch up here for Susan Keats. Definitely. What about the racist girl? Did he sleep with her?
Most likely.
And the girl from New York, so do you think Brandon and Val slept together?
No.
Okay. Last one.
Brandon, I'm sorry. I was just really nervous. Could we start over again?
Sure.
You want to come in?
Actually, no.
No?
No, but I would like a kiss goodnight.
Right. Just for clarity,
they both said how much they enjoy. Yeah, they were infatuated with Jason. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Molly Campbell wasn't. This was like, I think, a Halloween episode. Just for clarity, this Jason doesn't normally walk around in a top hat. Normally, I'm sure that was confusing to you, Chuck. Like, why would he be dressed in a top hat like this? They really went old school.
That was their first kiss, and the other one was the Susan Keats first kiss. And yeah, Tracy Gayley, and yeah, it was definitely score on that one. Yeah, he liked.
What do you think of them together? Like, I'm going to put you in the hot seat here, Larry, because there's a lot of people that compare Susan and Tracy.
It was always going to be him leaving her for Kelly. She was always in Kelly's shadow. I mean, that just has to happen. Sometimes you got to serve the show. It's a relationship that got them through. That got them through that senior year and all the turmoil at the TV station, and they had a wonderful time together. But you know, in the end, so this year he winds up dumping her.
What was the turmoil?
Oh, the station gets taken over by a guy who's been stalking Donna. We had a little bit of a lot of
intellectual content there.
I'm sure with he had other stuff. I'm just trying to remember what happened. Oh, I know what it was. The guy, the other head of the TV station, we had to fire. This was the guy who was kind of more Bel Air than Beverly Hills. He had big connections. He was modeled after the Dart family. Justin Dart.
Yes, but he got shit canned because of.
he was the one got in the way between Brandon and Kelly. She goes after him. They were on the station. He was supposed to be there the whole year. But.
And he didn't like. She didn't like him.
No. She did not like him. That was that. Larry, okay, Susan or Tracy, if you had a pick.
Oh, Susan. I mean, if I was Brandon or if I was myself, I mean.
No, I'm just saying, generally speaking, who do you think the better relationship is with?
Oh.
You said Susan. I think it's fair.
Would be a very professional relationship because she was really professional. She was like Brandon. She was ambitious. She was going to do things with her life. Tracy was kind of a little bit like a girl from Fresno, you know. Was a
nice girl.
Talking head on the anchor.
Yeah.
Girl. And she was fun and stuff.
I love her. The actress is lovely. Jill is lovely. Yeah.
Be the more difficult one.
Okay.
I think he really smoldered for Susan.
Lots of comments before we end here. See the Waves says the season six.
Don't forget, we had a whole thing where with Jonathan, her old boyfriend, comes and Brandon really gets under his skin. He really shows how much he likes her.
See the Waves says season six finale can't even be aired on Pluto TV. So.
It's so bad. It's
Lori calls Tracy the stage five clinger. Catherine says Brandon is horrible to Tracy. She should have left. I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, you know, sometimes you shouldn't have these workplace romances. That was another one. It's a cautionary tale. So we tried to teach you something, kids.
Joan says, oh no, Jill, lovely, but not for Brando. So needy in the end. Wow, poor Tracy.
She's a friend of ours.
Poor Tracy. We love her so much. Amanda says, Tracy just wasn't right for him. She was head over heels in love with him, and you can tell that he wasn't feeling the same. However, when he and Kelly got back together, he was looking fondly at pics of him and Tracy. Valid point.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, what you don't have, you always like for a moment more.
You know what I learned? You know, the grass on the other side. Yeah. You know, the one thing about it is,
yeah,
the grass may be greener,
yeah,
but it's still grass.
It's still
grass. This has been great, guys, diving into this conversation. Really fun to look at these characters through a different lens. It's a fun way of tackling some of these. I'm sure we can do Dylan and Brenda and all fun things about each of the characters through the weeks. Thank you for stopping by and telling us about 90s Con. I know we're going to go to... We're planning to go to South Carolina, right? Isn't our plan?
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about this, but yeah, I think it'd be kind of cool. We just want to make sure everyone's going to be there.
I've never been there, and I know someone else. You know who lives? Adam Lewis. You know from the.
Hamburger Hamlin. Yeah.
He's moved there.
Oh, cool. We got some friends. That's good. Maybe
I take Karen to Nashville or someplace like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're all into it. So let's just check it out. We should check in with those people from the Fab Five events
and
see what's what.
I'm going to try to have the girl from the Five events on this podcast at some point to plug the event and talk about what they're planning and all their events. Yeah.
I'm very concerned about the dueling 90s convention. So just ask her about that. If there's any way they can shift the dates.
Oh, I'm not even, that's not my department, Larry. I'm not in the shifted date department.
Hopefully I'll be able to.
I know what you mean. All right, guys. Thank you so much for this week. We will see you all soon.
Bye.
Bye.